find a way. School's in session!
Time to bust out some pen and paper, folks. You're tuning in to Freshman 15 with me, DJ Red. I've got the latest tips, tricks, and personal advice to make your college experience fan-frickin-tastic. So what do you have to lose? Let's get this show on the road. It's gonna take some time to realize.
But if you look inside, I'm sure you'll find. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Freshman 15. I'm your host, DJ Red, here in the studio, and I'm very happy that you guys have chose to tune in today. So today's show, I'd like to start out by just telling everybody that this is the last thing I'm doing this week before we head on out to Dominican spring break. I'm really excited about it, and for spring break this year, I just want to let you guys know what I'm doing. I will be going through our campus ministry here at Dominican, and I will be participating in what's called an alternative spring break trip. So for our alternative spring break trip, I will be going to Tijuana, Mexico this year, actually. I've never been to Mexico before, so I'm really excited about this opportunity. And we're going to be serving the community down there across the border and working at a couple of different organizations, so Casa de los Pobres, and we're going to be helping serve food out of their food shelter, and then we're going to be working at the Mission Esperanza, I believe that's what it's called. And we are going to be serving their community, helping reconstruct a home for a family down there, and then throwing a little carnival for the kids. And then we're also going to be volunteering at a mentally ill hospital in Rosarito, I think is the name. And so this six-week-long trip is something I'm really excited about. It'll be a really great opportunity for me this spring break. So I'm interested in seeing what you guys are doing for your spring break. That's going to be fun. I know Dominican isn't on the same spring break schedule as everybody else, but I always thought that was weird, a weird part of college, how everybody's spring break is at a different time. Like, I know my friends who are in Southern California schools, their spring break isn't for a couple of weeks, and we all just had midterms, whatever it may be, but either way, I digress. It's been a long week so far, so thank you guys for tuning in today. For today's show, I'm going to be covering a handful of topics in regards to college advice. So DJ Red is going to bust out the three R's this week. I thought that was pretty clever. but when I was putting this together, I came up with three R's that I want to talk about. So today's show, we're going to talk about rejection and all different kinds of rejection. We'll get into that. Relationships and what that's kind of like in college and how you might prepare yourself for it in high school, or you can deal with it while you are here. And the last thing that I'm going to be talking about is rest and relaxation, because I mean, those are two R's, so they kind of go together, but it's an R week for you guys here in the studio, and we're going to talk about all those three things. I think they're really important aspects to learn while you are in college, so let's get started here today. So the first thing I want to talk about with you guys is coping with rejection, learning from it, and using it as a way to improve yourself and things in the future. As you go through life, you'll face rejection of all kinds. People you find attractive might turn you down. You might be interested in a job interview, but that's not going to pan out, perhaps. And maybe there's even a scholarship committee who didn't select your application. There's so many different kinds of rejections that you're going to be facing while in college. So in this episode, I'll recount some instances in my life where I've been rejected and talk about what I learned from them. We'll also dive into how to deal with rejection and how to improve, and also touch on what rejection is one instant, or how this one instance doesn't mean it defines you in the future. If you're afraid of rejection, it doesn't mean that it's the end of your ability to do whatever thing it is that you want, specifically in regards to the work and or scholarship perspective of rejection. One rejection shouldn't bar you from that for the rest of your life, and that's something that I've learned. So a little story to go along with that, that I personally have experienced. So last year, my sophomore year, I was applying for a scholarship through an organization called the San Francisco Public Relations Roundtable, and they were giving out a scholarship to students. And so I heard about it through Dominican because they have a great career and internship services department. Through our departments, we all hear about different internships or scholarships in this case. So I was working on this one. My advisor, Brad Van Alstine, was telling me about it. And since I'm interested in public relations, this sounded perfect to me. So as I was going through the whole process, I felt really confident about the whole thing. And I was at a point in my life where last year I had just scored a super awesome internship opportunity with Sacramento Republic FC. I was on top of my game. I felt like nothing could bring me down. So going into this scholarship, I thought without a doubt, like I was going to win this thing. And I felt like it was easily or relatively easy to achieve because I wasn't even sure who else at Dominican was applying. So I wrote up the application and they liked it enough to actually call me in to be a finalist for the interview here on campus. And this was all of my sophomore year, as I said. And I felt like I had it in the bag. Everything was good to go. I was going to be Dominican's winner. Things were in my court. I had the wind in my sails. And I knew that nobody at Dominican was going to have a better application at mine than mine. Or at least that's what I thought. And I went into the interview super prepared, all this stuff, had talked with my advisor. I pitched them my idea, told them everything, and they told me they'd be contacting me in a couple of weeks, and they'd let me know. So a week went by, and another week went by, and I was starting to, in retrospect, I was really nervous about this, and so I just shot the lady who had conducted the interview an email asking where they were in making their decision-making process. And I got a reply back that says, I remember, and she said something along the lines of, "Yeah, we love the conversation we had with you. You submitted a great supplementary writing piece, and you're definitely an accomplished young woman. But, you know, the almighty but that no one ever likes to hear, we've decided to go with someone else, and we definitely want you to reapply next year." I was already shot in the heart, like, "Oh, you just rejected me, but okay, I'll try again next year." That was one of the first professional rejections that I had ever faced, and I want to tell you kind of how I dealt with it and how it made me feel. At first, it really sucked, honestly, because I had just gotten all the wind knocked out of my sails, as I mentioned before, so that kind of blew a little bit, but it didn't mean that I was a bad person. Like, she had just complimented everything about me, saying that I was a great conversationalist, I pitched myself really well, my resume was impressive for my age. There was nothing wrong with who I was as a person. I just wasn't right in the moment for the scholarship, and obviously someone beat me out. I found out later on that was actually one of my student ambassador friends here, so that was kind of funny, but I digress. If you are just tuning in here at the radio station, this is DJ Red, and I am doing my show Freshman 15. We're talking about rejection, and right now I just shared a little story about a professional rejection I had in my past, and what I learned from this overall experience is that there's always more options. This was not the only scholarship I could potentially enter, and I knew my pitch was good, so I already had the groundwork done, and this wasn't going to be the end of me trying to proactively apply to other scholarships. And I had that epiphany that maybe I'm not as cool or qualified as I had originally thought, and I think that's a good epiphany to have, because sometimes college students think that they are the end-all be-all, and that was just a great epiphany to have, that I really wasn't as cool as I thought I was. And you can begin researching what it takes to actually get to that next level. So that's what I started doing. What was it going to take for me to be a successful public relations person? Whether that's meeting with the Career and Internship Services, I kind of did that route a little bit. And she really helped me with my resume and improving my cover letter so that the next time I applied or to other scholarships or internships, I was going to be a better candidate in some way. And the biggest thing I learned from this whole experience is that every step along the process, or every little bump, bruise, or accomplishment is all part of the journey, you know, journey to one destination, whether it's success, rejection, or whatever it may be, it's all leading up to where you want to go. So that was the best. Oh, I have a great rejection story, actually, that I would love to share with you guys. So that I just talked about the one scholarship that I applied for in college, but that's actually not the first time I was rejected. I have come a long ways, so that's why I want to share this story. When I was first applying for jobs, it was over the summer before I came to college, and at that point in time, I had no work experience. I don't even think that I had a solid resume. My mom was kind of just like pushing me into the deep end of the pool, and she's like, "Yeah, go apply for summer jobs." So there's this place up by my house in Sacramento called Petroglyphs, which is a place where you sit down and you can paint different pottery stuff and fire it and make it into presents or whatever have you. And so I just consider applying there because I knew they had openings. And I walk in with a what I constituted as a resume at the time, and I'm talking to the store manager in the middle of the store. Had never, ever been in an interview type process. And the guy looks at me and he looks at my paper and he goes, well, in what way are you why are you qualified? Why should I hire you? And me being super intimidated and not expecting this question whatsoever, I actually start getting super teary-eyed because that's kind of what I do when I feel any emotion, whether it's nervous, angry, sad, happy, I start crying. And I start getting super upset in the store. And I was like, I don't know why you should hire me. I have no qualifications. And I just start getting really upset. Like, why did I come in here in the first place? And the manager kind of stops me and he goes, he can tell at this point that I have no idea what I'm doing. And he looks at me and he goes, okay, one, no. Two, in the future, if you are interested in applying somewhere, you really need to talk yourself up. Like, come in with a little bit of confidence. You're a student athlete. Like, you have things to share and things to provide our company. You just have to think about it beforehand and really talk yourself up when you go and talk to managers. So he said, at this point in time, we're not interested in hiring you, obviously, but in the future, you could do this. So while that might have been the most embarrassing moment of my life, I can guarantee that it'll never happen again. And now I know how to go into interview opportunities with managers. So that was actually one of my first major rejections that was horribly, horribly embarrassing. And I can't believe I just shared that on live broadcast. But there you go. Hopefully now you can learn from some of my mistakes. Maybe you haven't ever applied for a job, so don't do what I just did. So we're going to take a little step back. And in regards to that scholarship, I said that I had applied, been rejected, and now what was I going to do? So this last winter break, I actually reapplied to the same scholarship. And it was really awesome because while I had improved over the last year in regards to my work experience, volunteer opportunities, and overall just wrote a much better resume and cover letter, I got a reply back immediately from the woman at the San Francisco Public Relations Roundtable organization, and she replies back and says, oh, I remember you from last year. I'm so happy that you reapplied. I remember your resume. I'm so excited to read over this year's. So for me, that was awesome feeling just right from the beginning. Like, this woman who is a professional in the public relations field remembers who I was just from my name and the kind of stuff that we threw out. And an important part with that, it kind of ties into some of my other episodes, but I remembered that how important networking was and that she wanted me to reapply. So if you remember me talking about last summer that I got rejected, I actually found this woman on LinkedIn and I connected with her so that I was keeping my name in her mind. And I guess in the end, that all ended up working out for the best because she remembered me. We're still working in the process at this point in time if I'm going to be doing another interview this year, if I'll win, I still don't know. It's one of those things that gets decided at the end of the semester. But at this point in time, I feel confident, but also understanding of how prestigious this event is and everything else. So I've learned, I'm building my skills and experiences. It's all key to where I'm going and landing those opportunities. So maybe I'll succeed this year, maybe I won't. But it's all about keeping an open mind and having faith, and I'm really excited about these opportunities that I'm getting. There's a harsh silver lining to learning from this kind of rejection, though, and I hate to say this because I know how happy this is honestly going to make my father. But in regards to rejection and professional rejection, I think one of the biggest lessons that college students can learn is that no one, myself included, is entitled to anything. And I am in no way special per se than the guy sitting next to me. Hypothetically speaking, there is no man actually sitting next to me at the moment. But you know that whole saying. I'm just a regular old person, just like you and everybody else around me. My accomplishments come from who you know sometimes versus what you know. And that's really what I've learned in regards to some of the communications fields. And it's all about putting in the work. And if you're not doing the work, you're not going to get where you inevitably want to go. So I've learned that through some mistakes, and I'm sharing them with you today, so hopefully you can start getting out there and connecting with the right kinds of people so that you can get the opportunities that you want, and just have a better understanding that nothing in life is just handed to you. So that's one of the harsh realities of rejection, folks. The next side of rejection that I want to talk about is actually relationships, because relationship rejection is a huge part of life. I'm sure many of you have experienced it. In college, I'm actually in my first college relationship now, and to be honest, I haven't been the whole Rico Suave of landing dudes while at college, but I do know that rejection hurts. I went through it a handful of times in high school or whatever it may be. In more serious relationships, I think that can come out of being a college or as you move forward into your adult life. So consider that as you're moving forward, but also know that you have to make sure you understand each other's intentions. In college, the relationships can get kind of weird. You have mixed signals. You don't align futuristically and morally. You kind of have to get through hard questions sometimes to prevent heartbreak later. That's a good way, something I've learned in regards to relationships thus far, especially adult relationships, so you don't get rejected. Never believe that one of the biggest lessons I've learned from rejection, whether you just broke up with your boyfriend or of a long time, short time, whatever it may be, the biggest advice that I have, and I try and share this, it's always hard because you never know what to say to someone who's just broken up with someone. And the biggest thing I like to share is that never believe that something is wrong with you specifically. You just have to know that it wasn't meant to be, and while you might find that it's that it wasn't meant to be and that person wasn't who you were supposed to end up with in the long run. So you just have to have faith that everything will work out in the end, and who you're looking for will, and what serious relationship you're trying to pursue later on just wasn't with that person. So it's kind of hard to think when you're upset and you're in that moment, but just remember nothing is wrong with you individually. And relationships in college, it's a huge topic in and of itself, so that's why I've decided to segue that into its own topic for another segment today, because so much to talk about, not just the rejection side of relationships, but relationships in college in general is so, so, so big. So that's why I want it to be its own thing. Before we get into all of that, it's about that time for a little media timeout, so I'm going to head on over into the first little musical segment here for you guys. Thank you guys for listening here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Red, and we will be back shortly.
You've been telling everybody how much you love me, but I don't know. I don't know. And you throw your arms around me, tell me that you miss me. Is that so? Oh.
Zumba, weight training classes, and more. At Dominican University of California, the Conlon Center offers a wide range of amenities to benefit your everyday health and wellness.
Do you want that freshman 15? I don't think so.
So come on down to the Conlon Center, and while you're there, don't miss a second of the Penguin basketball games and volleyball matches that are held in the gymnasium.
And the Penguins win 78-76. The unthinkable has happened at the Conlon Center.
Not on a sports team, but want to play? No problem.
All DU students are encouraged to participate in rec sports. After a practice or a game, you can cool off by jumping into the pool. It's all at the Conlon Center.
Only at Dominican University of California.
Sorry. And welcome back to Penguin Radio here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Red, and I'm currently doing my show, Freshman 15, where we discuss all those fun tips and tricks you wish people told you about when you were in college. In case you're just tuning in, that was an awesome little promo we had for our Conlon Rec Center here at Dominican University. If you listened in on that little advertisement, there is a clip there about Stu reporting in the past about the old championship for the basketball team. So I want to take this time here to give a little shout out to my roommate and member of the women's basketball team, Carly Holbrook. If you're listening, congratulations on last night's win. They are playing for the tournament, PacWest tournament right now down in Irvine, and I'm really excited. They just won. They're playing in the semifinals tonight. So if you're interested in watching women's basketball take on Azusa Pacific, you can watch either a live streaming of the game or watch the live stats on Dominican Athletics. It's going to be great. I'm really excited to tune in tonight, and hopefully we can make it all the way to finals. Good luck, girls, and go Pangs! So in the last segment that we just had, I talked about rejection and all sorts that you might endeavor while you are in college. Moving forward in our broadcast, I would like to talk about a relationships in general. Cue the gagging audience members. Well, yeah, you know. But seriously, this is an important aspect in your 4 years of college. Relationships, meeting people, potentially finding the one, if that's something that you're interested in. I have a couple of stats for this section because I thought that was really important. So in a recent survey of 1 million users from the online and mobile dating app OkCupid, if you know what that is, it showed that views on dating and sex have changed significantly over the past 10 years. For example, fewer respondents would expect sex on the first date, but the belief that you can't have too many sex partners was much more of a commonplace. That's the terminology that they use there. I think that quote specifically highlights what is known in college as the hookup culture. And for those listeners out there that do not know what that is, in college, the hookup culture is one of those things where you might not be interested in a long-term serious relationship, but you're just hooking up with a bunch of different people. And for the most part, I think a lot of people get confused on what is constituted as a hookup, so I kind of want to go into that too. I think this whole segment will kind of be bouncing back between the term hookup culture, relationship, all of it, because in college, they're kind of one and the same, and I want to dissect that, analyze it, see what it means, how it's affecting people, and stuff like that. So in Teen Vogue, I was reading this article published last December in 2015, and they're talking about, like, what is a hookup? And I don't think anybody actually knows, and most college students have their own definition of the term. And according to Dr. Kathleen Bogle, who is the author of Hooking Up, Sex, Dating, and Relationships on Campus, it's deliberately vague. And she says in the article, the point is that it involves sexual activity ranging from kissing to intercourse and outside of any exclusive relationship. And that's what she says in the Teen Vogue article. And when you have such a wide range of what it means to hook up and that vagueness around it, that creates a lot of uneasiness, in, I think, in regards to discussing relationships in college, because it's such a gray area. If you're just like, oh my gosh, did you hook up with him last night? And you don't know how to respond to that because you're like, well, I made out with him, but is that hooking up? Or, you know, it's, I don't know, that kind of thing. It's such a vague thing, and it always becomes really complicated to talk about in college. That's what I've experienced thus far. I hate the term hooking up because it's so vague. The hookup is nothing new. Bucknell sociologist William Flack has been studying it all the way since 2001, which is relatively recent, but that's over 15 years ago, and casual sex has been happening on campuses for decades. But the dominance of explaining your encounter with a romantic venture as hooking up or becoming is becoming super widely accepted as something that everybody in college does. Because this is so vague, everyone's saying everyone's hooking up, and if you have the wrong interpretation of that, maybe you're thinking everybody's having sex and you have to do it too, or you're weird. But everyone could just be making out with everyone and they're the hookup queen, but you have this horrible interpretation, or not horrible, but you have a wrong interpretation of what's actually happening. And because of this, the hookup culture is spreading, and it is a fact. And rather than a culture, I think the best way to describe it as a subculture of our entire society. And it hasn't replaced dating necessarily, it's just changed the way that we think about it. And I think for me personally, and from dealing with friends who've dealt with rejection and relationships and what have you, this whole hookup culture subculture that primarily affects college students, it's really hurting their opinions on serious dating or when people are starting to seriously date. They consider these 4 years of college as a time to just like fool around, find yourself sexually and things like that, or whatever it may be. But then if you aren't communicating what you're actually interested in regards to your sexual, or I mean, it could even just be romantic. It doesn't have to be sexual. It could just be a romantic. Like, I obviously know that there are still people out there that are waiting till marriage, and that's a great thing. And like, we super promote it here in like a Catholic heritage school or whatever it may be. But how is dating college different from high school? And I want to talk about that a little bit, because that's something that I had such a hard time with. As I've mentioned before, I haven't been in a college relationship up until this point. It's still relatively new, only a couple of months. And there is a huge difference between what it means to be in a relationship in high school and what it means to be in a relationship in college. And it was funny, I was sitting down with one of my friends, Hallie, and I asked her this question. Oh, how, like, what do you think is the biggest difference between high school and college relationships? And she goes, well, when you're in high school, and this isn't verbatim, but for the most part, if you've ever met Hallie, she's pretty outgoing, she's hilarious. But she said, when you're in high school, you're in a small microcosm of things, and everybody's in everybody's business. And when you're with someone, you felt like you were way more committed in high school. Like, you were invested for life. This was some death do you part type stuff when you were in a relationship in high school. But when you're in college, it's everybody, like, the intentions are so unclear. Nobody knows what's going on. One second you're making out with someone, the next they're making out with someone else, and you're all confused because you had feelings for them. And in general, we were just having this great conversation about how confusing it is. And I think the main reason is because intentions and communication skills, for some reason, have just been lost. They're thrown out the window when you come to college and you talk about relationships. People don't talk about how they're feeling or what their intentions are or anything like that, and that leads to heartbreak. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to throw that stat out there, because I am just seeing so many boys and girls just getting horribly confused at where their relationship status is going. According to the New York Times Magazine Sex on Campus survey that they put out, a date nowadays is defined by a whopping 71% of students as just any one-on-one encounter with a romantic potential. So is that just like having a study session in your room, and you're going to constitute that as a date? For me, I wouldn't constitute that as a date at all. Like, but apparently to 71% of students, this is what they think it is, which is totally different from the formal, what it used to be in the 50s and things like that, and the John Hugh heyday of the 80s, you know, let's go out, I'm going to pick you up and talk to your dad, and he's going to make you be back by 10. Like, that's, and I mean, I'm pretty old school, you might call me ancient in regards to my understandings of what a date is, but if I want to go on a date with someone, it's a set aside time, I want to dress up, I want money to be spent on me and or on him because I'm cool like that. But either way, I don't think dating a significant date is something that you just like hang out Netflix and chill. That's a whole other topic for another time, and what that has become in college. But unfortunately, it seems like guys have a more deciding power, and this is part of that same survey conducted by New York Times. So in this survey, they found that with 90% of the students say that women can and should ask men on dates, but only 12% of the dates are coming from women doing the asking. So everyone thinks that women have just as much right to ask people on dates, but women aren't doing it. So ladies, what's going on? We need to get out there. And if you're interested in a dude, hit him up, ask him on a date. Like, this is the 21st century, 2016, guys. I say women have every right to go on out there and ask for a date. According to Dr. England's study, which is that survey that we just talked about, and it just shows that hookups are usually initiated by men, and hooking up tends to lead to relationships. And that's something that I can agree with, and I think is almost kind of weird because, I mean, back in the day, what it used to be is you would start a long-term relationship, you have milestones in your relationship, and then whether it's waiting till marriage or some other point where you're living together, you have more of, I guess I'm using the term hookup in regards to like a sexual partnership with this person, but nowadays it's almost swapped. You're making out with some random dude at a party, and then the next thing you know, he's back at your room, you've spent the night together, anything can happen, and after this keeps happening for a couple weeks, you decide like, hey, maybe I'll keep you around and we're going to start a relationship. So it's almost as if everything is backwards in college, which, as I am trying to explain the best I can, is super confusing to most people. And I don't even know if I have the best advice in regards to this, but like I said, it's just about communicating what your actual intentions are and what you're looking for out of people. In case you're just tuning in, this is DJ Red, and I am doing my show Freshman 15, and we're giving college advice, and it just so happens that this segment is on relationships, the hookup culture, and everything like that this week. So for me, I just have a couple of like last minute things in regards to relationships. First and foremost, I think that relationships nowadays are being widely affected based on social media. So whether that is Twitter or Instagram, people are sliding into your DMs and stuff like that. You know, that whole weird saying. There's even a song out about it now. Like, I don't even know. Hallie sings it all the time. But anyways, so you also have you have college relationship stuff. So instead of that eHarmony, which was generally associated with older generation, we now have things called Tinder, OkCupid, and something like Bagels and Coffee. I don't even know what's out there anymore, but we have these applications nowadays, and people are using them as ways to find potential people that they're interested in. So I think that's a huge contributor to the hookup culture, because rather than getting that face-to-face interaction, you are just hitting up people on this social media platform, and you think they're hot based on their pictures, which are probably edited, by the way. It's not that hard to do. And people are shining light to make their abs look way better. But I digress. People are using these social media platforms as a way to get more involved in who they think they want to start a relationship with versus connecting with them in person. I feel that that contributes to disaster later on, because you actually have no idea anything about these people. It's kind of creepy, to be perfectly honest. You're inviting a stranger to come pick you up at your home and drive you on a date. You don't know anything about this person. Like, first and foremost, men and women both, please just be safe in regards to who you are talking to on social media. You don't know who these people are in real life, so this might have worked for some people. I know it has, but in general, just please, please, please be safe in regards to who you're actually going on dates and interested in when it comes to social media. And I have a couple other plugs that I think are really important. So I have an advice for girls section and an advice for boys section, because, you know, both sides of the spectrum, both people are at fault for things, or they need some advice on things. So my first advice for girls is to stop creating an unrealistic expectation from, one, Instagram couples like Alexis and Jay, for example, or from silly shows like The Bachelor. No college boy is going to be your Ben Higgins, I can promise you that. Almost all college students are broke, and you'll be lucky to go out on a Friday night dinner movie date or something like that. And most of the time, then you're not going to be whisked away to some island for some romantic boat ride into the sunset or jumping out of planes like Alexis and Jay. I love reading their Instagram stuff and watching their cool videos, but in no way is that a reality of what you should be expecting from your relationships in college. And I think nowadays girls have these horrible, unrealistic expectations. I myself even had them going into it. and I've been surprised from my relationship thus far at how great it's been working out. All you gotta do is set aside one weekend, one afternoon a month, and you can go do something fun, and that's reality. If my boyfriend's name is Michael, and if he and I want to go out and just go to a movie one afternoon, or we're going to actually hit up one of the museums in San Francisco, that's a reality in a college relationship, not going out to the Bahamas or a one-week trip to France or something like that. So women, just try and hone in some of your daydreams and be a little bit more realistic in regards to your relationship and what that's going to look like in college. Now for boys, I want to tell you that I know you have feelings too, and I can attest to this because almost all of my closest friends at school here are guys, and we talk about girls all the time. They're always upset and they're so confused, and I think it's just really important that guys, you have every right to have these feelings, but you need to communicate them, and you need to tell girls what you're looking for in a relationship. If you just want to hook up with someone, be honest, but if you want something more from them, I think you need to kind of gain the confidence to like talk about that. And I think you should talk about when you're confused about our mood swings, because women do have mood swings. And please, 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 guys, all my guy friends out there, have the confidence to go up to that girl you think is a little bit out of your league, or what you constitute as out of your league, and talk to her, because I guarantee she's been waiting weeks for you to try and just come up to her and talk to her. That's such a huge thing. I think sometimes guys in college just don't have the confidence to go for what they want. We're begging you to go for what you want. Remember my statistic early on? Only 12% of dates are coming from women asking. We are begging you to ask us on dates. We don't have the confidence to do it. Girls, we should probably work on that. But at this point in time, boys, please, 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 ask us on dates. Not me, because I'm currently in a relationship. But I digress. That is my biggest thing. Second thing for boys, if you fall under that category of what is known as a tool or something nowadays in college, please just remember to always treat women the way you treat your mom, or more or less at least the way you would want to treat a woman in front of your mom. Just remember that. We all have feelings. Everybody's gonna get hurt, and that all just comes from communicating your intentions. And I think in general that will help some of you dealing with college relationships. I'm in no way going to say that this is an easy topic to give advice on, because college relationships are just a little crazy sometimes. But in general, that's what I have for you today in regards to relationships. And we are going to head on in to our second break here. And when we come back, we're going to discuss the final R of the day. Remember, I said we're doing three R's with DJ Red. So far we've talked about rejection, we just covered relationships, and the final R of the day we're going to cover is resting and relaxation. I'm going to give you some advice in regards to that, and ways that I have handled that here in college. So don't close that web page. My show, Freshman 15, is coming back in just a few minutes.
Knows that she's holding the fate of my world in her hands. Damn, for real, this was never the plan. It was never intended for her to end up the defendant. I guess it just happened by chance. Damn, and you hoping that a miracle happens. You pray that the judge doesn't bang that gavel so you can go back and avoid a disaster. And you can still be holding her hand, like the last note of the saddest song, or like the last word at the end of a poem. You know, it's nothing worse than being alone. It's funny how you never know what you got till it's gone. They can take these clothes off my back. They can take my money. Don't care about that. Now it's her that I cry for. Now I'll give it all away.
way to get her back. Cause she ain't free, no, this ain't no July 4th. Yeah, I know it don't sound logical, but it's some things in this life that you gotta do. But the one thing in this world that's got to, I let it all go, but I ain't dropping you. They can take these clothes off my back. They can take my money, don't care about that. There's no looking back, and we won't sleep tonight. We're living while we're young, and this is worth the fight. Even if I lost it all,
up guys, did you miss me? This is DJ Red and I'm your host of Freshman 15. I've been broadcasting live from Dominican University of California, the official home of Penguin Radio. On this week's broadcast, we have been covering the three R's that I've come up with you for you today: rejection, relationships, and now I want to share what I've learned about rest and relaxation along my little college journey so far in my last 3 years. So I think that this was a great topic to talk about right before I head on into my personal spring break and everybody's kind of dealing with midterms and everything else like that. I thought rest and relaxation was a very appropriate segment to delve into today. So as we all know, if you are in college or if you are not, I'm here to tell you that college can and will be overwhelming and you need to try and figure out how to fit in personal rest days or figure out when you're going to rest and relax, because college is extremely stressful sometimes. And I can attest to that, and I can tell you that any person I have ever met will tell you that college is the best 4 years of your life, but is also probably the most stressful years of your life because so much is just going on all the time. So the best ways that I've found to relax, and when I'm talking personal relax days, we've talked about this before in previous shows, but I really believe in staying on top of your schoolwork so that you can take these rest days. So today I want to talk about a couple of the things I've done just here in Marin County. And obviously I know not all of my listeners are from here, but if you do go to Dominican and you're tuning in, these are some of my favorite things that I've done while here to help me kind of relax from the stresses of college. And my favorite thing to do is to actually get out in nature and go on a couple of hikes. And Marin County has some of the most beautiful hikes you could imagine. So I'm going to share a few of my favorites with you today. So first and foremost, if you go to Dominican, right behind school, just up the street a little bit, you take a, I don't even know what the names of the street is. That's horrible. I've been here for 3 years and I can't even tell you besides Acacia what the name of the streets around our school are. But just literally right behind campus, if you go past Edge Hill Village, the upperclassmen residence halls, you can go to what is known as Fire Trail. It's a hike that almost every student at Dominican has or should take at some point. It's relatively easy, not that steep. You climb up. There's a couple of rocks, but honestly, it's probably the easiest hike of the ones I'm going to mention today. And you take the hike, it just goes on up, and as you're going up, you can start seeing all of the Bay Area. It's beautiful. I've done this hike 2 years in a row, not this year, but the last freshman and sophomore year. I took this hike on Valentine's Day, super early in the morning. And when you get up to the top of the mountain, there's actually an old, I don't know why we call it Fire Trail. I think this is some kind of a fire lookout point is what this was. And so you can climb up this giant structure and you can take pictures. A lot of people do stuff up there and it is absolutely gorgeous. You can see all of the Bay Area. You can see the Golden Gate Bridge, the Bay Bridge and Sausalito, all of these places just from this one perspective on top of this mountain. And you just become, you start to see how small your problems are and how small you are in regards to this huge world that we're living in. And I think that's a huge part of why I love going into nature, because you kind of find your place and you see how small and insignificant what you're constituting as stressful really is in the grand scheme of things. So Fire Trail, if you haven't done that, that hike is absolutely beautiful. The next one that I want to talk about is I took a little hike. It was actually raining, and so this was a super fun hike to take. My boyfriend Michael and I, we went out to Rodeo Beach, which is really close by, and we were going to the Point Bonita Lighthouse. So it was kind of misting, and it was super beautiful out there. We were walking along the hills and just driving out to this place. It's the same kind of perspective. You can overlook the ocean and everything and beautiful, beautiful rolling green hills. If you've never been to Rodeo Beach, I highly recommend it. There's some huge, huge waves, especially this time of year, just rolling in. It's so pretty. And who doesn't like the beach? If you compare beach with hike, for me, that's just a win-win situation. So Rodeo Beach, Point Bonita Lighthouse, get on out to those. Absolutely stunning. But if you're afraid of heights, the Point Bonita Lighthouse has a horrifying bridge that you have to walk between these two cliffs. So just don't look down if you're going to do that one. That's my recommendation on there. The third hike, and I've actually taken almost all of these this year, so that's really cool. I've done a lot this semester or this year so far, so props to me. Pats on my back. Anyway, so my next favorite hike to actually take is Cataract Falls. So if you're into waterfalls and you're in the Marin County area, I recommend, and this is an all-day adventure, this one's a lot harder of a hike to take. You can take it in as far as you want, but you start at the top of this hill, again, the rolling green hills that you're looking across, and you park your car and you walk on in, and this one, like I said, is a lot harder. Walking down to the waterfalls is easy because that's all downhill and there's a wide variety of waterfalls ranging from super wide, tall, skinny, whatever it is. And that day I ended up hiking probably like 3.5 miles, 3 miles down into the thing. And every step I took down, I was realizing I was going to have to take steps right on back up. So that part of the whole thing was not relaxing, but the whole hiking in general, getting out in nature, that's a great opportunity to just get a rest day in. And so Cataract Falls, if you're interested, I've mentioned Fire Trail so far, Rodeo Beach and Point Bonita Lighthouse. And the last one in Marin County is Muir Woods. I've done this with a handful of friends. If you just want to stay within and look at these gorgeously huge redwood trees inside of Muir Woods, it's absolutely beautiful. Those are some of my favorite relaxation and personal rest days, is to go out and do those kind of things. Maybe you're just more of a sit inside and watch Netflix, but for me, getting out in nature, that's been some of the best ways that I've learned to relax and rest while in college. But also, you don't always have the opportunity to just go out and do these grand adventures. So I've, while in college, have learned either through coaches, teachers, I took a sports psychology class, and even through visiting the college counselors here on campus, they've taught me a handful of different meditation techniques where you either plant your feet firmly on the ground, close your eyes, and you just breathe in through your nose for 7 counts, and then you breathe out for 5, and you're just taking these super deep breaths, 10 at a time, to relax your mind, center yourself. That's always a really helpful relaxation technique if you're ever feeling overly stressed out about your assignment or something that's going on, maybe in your relationship. I always just recommend those little couple minutes to yourself to sit down, watch your breathing, focus on that. Those are good ways to do that. And one of my favorites actually is yoga. I picked this up in the last year, and yoga has been a great opportunity for me to sit down and kind of center myself and clear my mind of everything that's been going on. We have a couple of yoga classes offered through our rec sports program here. So if your college campus has that, I highly recommend it. If you go to Dominican, please try and attend. It's free for students, so go ahead and get out there. And yoga's been, it's honestly one of my favorites. It's allowing time to yourself, away from the distractions and pressures that are going on. It's a great way to stretch and just get in touch with your body. It builds great abs, so why not do that? But in the end, it's a great way to like let go and or prepare yourself for productive ways of tackling your to-do list. So if you've never done it before, I highly recommend you try yoga because I've enjoyed it. So maybe other people will as well. So I come from experience. Last 3 years, I know how stressful it is to be in college. And I can tell you that I have learned a lot about how to do it, and I've had my nights where I've only spent 3 hours before I had to go to soccer practice and things like that. But last night, in and of itself, I had 8 hours of sleep, and I am so ready to go home and take a nap about 3 o'clock today. And in no way have I been doing any poorer or failing in juggling my, right now I'm writing my senior thesis even as a junior, and I have a part-time job, and I'm doing the radio show, soccer, all this stuff is going on. But I found a way to get enough rest in my life. And that is not easy by any means, and it does require some sacrifices on your part. So this is delving more into, rather than a get out and go kind of thing, this is more talking about rest and sleep, because sleep is a huge, huge topic in regards to college. So getting enough sleep is really beneficial while you might be making some sacrifices. I know I have, but going to bed by like 10 or 11, whatever it might be, and making sure you get the right amount of sleep is so important. So by my ability to be able to balance all this stuff, what this tells me is that, and I think what it says about college students in general, is we've all accumulated an unsightly amount of sleep debt because you spend one night where you only get 3 hours of sleep and all this stuff, and your body can stay asleep for 8 hours to 12 hours at a time, and yet you still are desperate for a nap at the midday. So you're obviously sleep deprived. And I think we can all do fine in school with way more sleep than we thought. Like, we can all do fine in school with little sleep, but we can all get a lot more sleep than we thought. And it's, like I said, it's all about making those sacrifices and just figuring out how to plan it into your day-to-day life. So like many other things that I advocate for, I am going to recommend that you do a little bit less, but sleep more. That's kind of contradicting of what I said earlier, to get out. But it's different. Like, it's all about that prior preparation and making sure you're on top of your schoolwork so that you don't have to stay up super late. And obviously, there's circumstances where that doesn't apply. But for me, my lifestyle, and I've really implemented it this year, and it's done wonders for me in regards to how clear my skin has gotten, how healthy I am, and all around, a lot of things have gotten a lot better because I'm doing less and sleeping more. And this isn't an original stance to take, and I'm talking about it today because for most things in life, especially it seems in college, you just learn so much more as time goes on. And I've been there, I've done that. The sleepless nights my freshman year, trust me, it is, sometimes it feels necessary, but it's not always the healthiest way to approach going about rest in college. And unfortunately, whether it's a romantic relationship, academic, socializing, or just generally living, we all tend to seek advice from seniors. And I mean, I'm not a senior or anything like that, but you can take my advice. So I'm a junior and I know what it's like. So maybe just listen in to what I have to say here about getting the appropriate amount of rest. And I know most of us will spend our college years either puffy-eyed, stressed out, acne-ed, and we're all super young and trying to live. But I'm here to tell you from living experience that sleep is not impossible and you can get it. And the sooner you realize that, the happier you're going to be. So you, my dear college friends, can sleep more, but this is a choice you have to make. I was reading a New York Times article about sleep, because everyone always says a range of different times it's appropriate on how much you're supposed to sleep. So this article in the New York Times says, 1 out of 3 Americans do not get enough sleep, according to a study that was done by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which found that sleep schedules varied between race, age, and geography. So that kind of makes sense. You're looking at different factors there in the study. And it was saying that overall, about 65% of Americans slept for at least 7 hours each night. So that's that was the threshold of the survey, and the authors were talking about how that's what they were defining as a healthy sleeping time. If you can get somewhere between 7 to 9 hours of sleep, that is prime for your body as you're moving forward into your adult life. To try and get 7 to 9 hours of sleep will optimize, or I think that's the right word, it'll just give you the best performance in regards to your everyday life if you are trying to get that many hours of sleep. And so that's something that I've personally been working on this semester, and I've done a great job. Some people might call me an old grandma for trying to do this, but in reality, it has helped me so much more. And I do. I still take naps every couple, like all the time. Actually, I highly encourage college students to take naps. It's like you're reverting back to this old stage of being like a preschooler who just wants to take a nap, but it is so resourceful to take midday naps. And even if it's for 40 minutes to an hour and 20 minutes, I'm not saying you have to take 4-hour naps, while I know most of my friends and or teammates do. If you just take quick power naps, or really hone in your ability to take power naps, that's going to help you and benefit you so far down the line. My parents to this day will come home from work and take small power naps before they have to cook dinner and clean the house and deal with my sister and I. So if you can perfect that ability to take quick little power naps, I say go for it. And everybody should take naps all the time, because I love naps. So that's where I'm at in regards to sleep and stuff like that. It's also a great way to make up maybe an extra hour of sleep you couldn't get in the night. So maybe you got only 7 because you have a midterm that you're studying for. Then if you know that you can set aside an hour in your day to take a nap to kind of recover, in no way does that compensate, but it does help. It's kind of a give and take little thing there. But starting today, I am going to challenge all of you listeners out there to get as much sleep as possible, and I know that it is not easy. I have been there, but I promise you'll see huge benefits in your life when it comes to your body and your health and your schoolwork and everything else if you're getting the appropriate amount of rest and relaxation. So that is what I have for you today in regards to the 3 R's. I know you may or may not have been listening this whole hour, but I have been giving college advice on what I have constituted as the 3 R's, which were rejection in regards to your professional and or relationship rejection. We talked about relationships, the hookup culture, and what that kind of looks like in college. And we just finished out our last segment talking about rest, relaxation, and how to balance all of that with all the craziness that goes on when you are in college. And in general, that concludes the college advice I have for you this week here on Penguin Radio. This has been DJ Red, and I unfortunately will not see you guys back here next week because, like I've said, we have spring break. So in 2 weeks, come back, listen in, tune into my show. I hope you guys have had a relaxing and enjoyable day here with me in the studio. And other than that, I hope you all enjoy your spring break. If you're a Dominican student or faculty member and everybody else, I just wish you the best. TGIF, ladies and gentlemen, and deuces. In case you got lost in the awesomeness that is my show, for the last hour, I've been sharing some personal college advice. If you like what I had to say this week, I highly encourage you to tune in again next Friday, 11 a.m. for the Freshman 15 with me, DJ Red. Thank you guys so much for listening in on radio.dominican.edu. Penguin Radio is the official radio station of Dominican University of California, where fellow students like myself are given the opportunity to write, produce,
and record our own personalized radio programs. We are sponsored by the Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences program and produced under the Communication and Media Studies Department, where our chair is Brad Van Alstein, our executive producer is Leona George Davidson, and our faculty advisor is Stuart Horn. I hope you all have had a great time tuning in, and have a great weekend, everybody.